is such a compassionate father compared to you and me. And he is loaded with mercy and grace. And we, as a people, don't often listen to what he has to say. We have an opinion and we want to carry it out, and we're very religious. Amen?
Amen.
We're so religious that we stink to each other rather than to obey him. What I will tell you is I had a vision yesterday morning at the leadership meeting, and it was a powerful one. Not the one that usually gets visions, so I mean, they're on the rare side. I get a lot of words, but and usually I don't remember them. But visions have been happening, and one of them happened Tuesday night or Tuesday afternoon as I was interceding and just praying. And I saw two kids. One of them was, well, we're picking on the Chica family, so is that okay? I was in the spirit. I know I was in the spirit. I had no consciousness of where I was. I had been in the spirit for quite a while, and I saw very clearly Daniel. And his shape, I knew it was him, changed, and he became, let's see, I was looking at it from here, so he became the right wing of an eagle. And I was trying to figure out what it looks like because, you know, you don't normally see a bird with only one wing. And the next thing I knew, I saw Jessica, and she was the other wing. And she actually became the completion. For some odd reason, the body of the bird was already there. So I related this to their parents, and of course, let God be God to declare what he wants from it. The next part was yesterday when I was sitting actually second pew from the front where I usually sit when I go to Christ Life Fellowship. My brain was not connected. It was in a moment of worship. The worship was working. It was going forward. And I saw it as clearly as I could. It was right next to me. It was right on the side. And I saw a lady come. And she was, I would say, a woman, not childish, woman, adult. I couldn't see her face. All I could see was her body. And her body was literally full of blood. The biggest that I saw was on her side, which I would say would be her right side. As she turned the corner, I saw blood dripping, and as she turned the corner, I could see coagulated blood. Now, does anybody know what coagulated blood means? It's all stuck in a clump. And it was on her side, and it was like dripping, but it wasn't dry blood. It was active in its process, and it was just dripping to the floor. And I was stunned. Because it was vivid. And I said, Lord, I don't understand. So I kept it. I wrote it down. And a little bit later, the leader said, well, we have a lady that's very, very ill. And she needs prayer. I said, okay. So then I put, and he asked if there was anybody else. And of course, I started to say that I had a vision. And he said, well, we're not time for visions right now. And I said, well, it's pertinent, and I'd like to give it. Because I had a sense it would probably be one thing, but it could be connected to more than one. So I gave the vision, and several people agreed that it probably was the body of Christ. And the wounding is from within. The wounding is from within. And that was pretty, let's say, aware of how people can be so dramatically critical to each other. In the church. I'm not talking about people outside the church. That's their job. They don't have the knowledge of the Lord. And how many know that if it's a non-believer that's picking on you, it's not the same as a brother or a sister? Okay? When it's a person that's connected to you and that you love, someone especially that you may have given a lot of your effort to and for, and they turn on you, there's a brokenness that happens on the interior that is very difficult to explain. Can anybody relate to what I'm talking about? Thank you. So the one that you least expect to begin a destructive work in you is the one that the enemy will use so that you will stay focused on the one that can save you. Because you can't save yourself. I was hoping for an amen. How many have been trying to save themselves? How many have tried to save someone else? How well did you succeed? Not too good, huh? But when the anointing of the Lord comes, there's a breaking that happens. And when that anointing comes and the breaking takes place, the Holy Spirit has an ability to do a mighty work. So our best bet is when we rely on Him instead of on ourselves. And when we're relying on Him, He's got all the power available to change whatever the circumstances may be. You know, when God began working on me and the hope of something different was happening in me, I had a lot of challenges from different individuals. And my born-again experience was one-to-one with God, watching Billy Graham. Certainly not a good Catholic. I didn't really think it worked, so I knelt down the following week trying to do it again, thinking that I hadn't done it right. But what I did discover was that I began to hunger for the Word of God. So I got a Bible. I began to look at what was going on in my life, and I was 27. And I was very dissatisfied, and the next 10 years were a struggle to go forward. But I do believe that the Holy Spirit was literally pouring in a lot of grace and mercy and drawing me, giving me a hunger. Because on my own, I wouldn't have had it, because to be honest with you, I hated to read. I believe I hated to read because when I moved to the United States of America, the critical teachers had me in the closet to keep me quiet. That was my beginning of my experience of the U.S. of A. So I spent a lot of time in the closet. To be honest with you, I'm out of the closet. And I know how to talk English now, so I can make myself understood. But that first year was hell on wheels. I was an A and B student in Canada for 2 years. And I was multi-talented. But when I came to the United States and these wonderful Americans, it was a major, major challenge. I couldn't have told you the difference between yes and no. That's how serious it was. The persecution of being a young adult already, because I was 2 years older than my first graders, and I was challenged in multiples of levels. But God took me through because that whole year is like a blur in my life. And He blanked it out of my brain for many, many years. And I didn't comprehend what God was doing because, to be honest with you, I was not happy with God at that time. I really wasn't. But we went to church every single Sunday. And we did what we knew how to do with what we were given to do. And if you would have questioned me, even as a young adult, about that first year, I would have given you very little information because I didn't remember most of it. You'd say, well, why? Because God had a plan for my life. So try that one on for yourself. Say, Lord Jesus, You have had a plan for my life. And sometimes you might have felt you were in the closet. But Jesus was there with you. Just like He was with me. How many have had a few months in the closet? Thank you. See, being put away or pulled away to be by yourself with Him is going to change you. It's going to dramatically change you. And it won't all be sweet. Some of it was difficult. You've heard testimonies of different people here. And it wasn't always sweet. Some of it was really difficult. And it's not all about my persecution or my hardship, but you know where it came from? It came from people with good intentions. Amen? Their heart was right. If I was disturbing the whole class, something had to be done. It's just the way it is. Okay? It's not pleasant, but it's the way it is. Now, after those 10 years, watching the brokenness in my family, I was discouraged with God. But God had a plan there. The Holy Spirit came and invaded my life. And that was okay. But that invasion didn't stop there. Now, there was a word given to me earlier. We want to die from Holy Ghost consumption. How do you like that one? We want to die from Holy Ghost consumption. When I was 11, I was declared a threat to the children in the school because they couldn't find out what was wrong with me. And that's when consumption was a major disease. People were dying like left and right. You know, being diagnosed with something that they can't figure out, they put a title on it. I mean, how many know last fall we had advertisements that everybody needed to have a swine flu shot? Okay? I can remember my dad when he was living. He's still living, but not in the earth flesh. Was told by the doctor that he needed to have a swine flu shot. And my father looked at the doctor. I was right there. He said, nope. He says, that's for swine. You want to give the shots to the swine? I am not receiving. And the doctor's trying to get him to take it. And he said, no, I'm not taking that into my body. And the doctor says, why not? He says, I've already had a Holy Ghost flu shot. So he had a Holy Ghost flu shot. Who was he trusting to keep him alive? God. And do you know God honors that? It might have been a joke for him in a sense. And the doctor wasn't very happy. But you know what? He was standing on the promises of the Lord. One of the things that I believe divides the body of Christ is the legal aspect of what we heard last week. Legalism is being what? Crushed. Correct? That word of knowledge was very good. Legalism is being crushed. Where is it going to get crushed? In you and in me. What we think is right. What we perceive is to be the thing that we need to do. Because we're so accustomed to using rules and regulations and laws to keep ourselves on the straight and narrow. But I'll remind you, there's a scripture that'll baffle that. So let's go to his word. John chapter 3. John chapter 3. And I think you know this one. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world. He did not send his Son to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. There's your vision, girl. Come on out of your little niches that you think is so perfect. Come on out and join the one that said, I've come to what? Save. Salvation is the word to each of us. He didn't come to judge us. He didn't come to criticize us. He came to love us. Amen. I listened to Bob Jones on one of the CDs that was given to me for a time to study. He made an incredible comment. He was dead. Physical body dead. He's standing before the Lord. And the Lord said to him, have you learned to love yet? Look at your neighbor. Have you learned to love yet? Does that mean loving the one that loves you back?
No.
No! It means the one that's treating you like a piece of dirt.
Amen.
The one that wounded you and made you bleed. Have you learned to love yet?
That's what Jesus did. He came to show us how to love.
He didn't come to show us how to judge. In fact, he made a spectacle of those who were judgmental, of those who were critical. And he said, love your neighbor as yourself. I mean, that's intense. And we live under such critical dominion. It's ugly. Don't pick on your neighbor. Don't pick on the plan that God has for them. Because you know what? He's got them on a straight and narrow to do what God has said to do for them. And that's not your responsibility to straighten them out. Would you declare with me, I'm retired from trying to straighten people out. I am fully retired from trying to straighten out those I love. Because it doesn't work.
It doesn't work.
Have you ever tried to straighten yourself out? How successful were you? You know why? Because unless the Father draws, unless the Father gives you grace, unless he pours in mercy and love, you're not going to get there.
Amen.
I told you about 1967, bowing my knees, saying, yes, Jesus. I told you about 1977, letting the Holy Ghost come in, trying to consume me. And he did. To a degree. And then I had great plans for myself. Now, if you're at that stage, it's an okay stage. It happens for all of us. We all have great plans. Until we realize we can't perform it. And when you realize you can't perform it, you have to go back to the source of the one who said, for God so loved him that he gave his one and only Son for me. Try it on. Say, look at your neighbor. God so loved you. He gave up his Son. For you. To save you. Not to judge you. Not to condemn you, but to love you. And so do I.
Amen.
That's the bottom line.
See, when the church starts loving, guess who starts activating? The accuser. And what do we do with him? Rebuke him. Yes. Get thee behind me, Satan. Get thee behind me. I'm not doing it your way. And you know what? I do believe that that vision was the body of Christ bleeding from self-inflictions. When I saw that blood, I wanted to weep. Especially the clump. Yes. It wasn't drying up. You understand? It's constant. And so what are you and I to do with that information? I said, God, what are you saying? Become lovers. Bottom line. If God sent his firstborn son, it's Romans 8 says there's more brothers coming. That's you. That's me. Sisters coming to love unconditionally. No matter what denomination. Because you know what? When we stand before him, it's not going to be a denomination that's going to get you through the door. It's recognizing that the words of your mouth and the blood of the Lamb that washed you clean. That's it. It's not complicated. It doesn't matter where God decides to put you. What's important is that you obey where he put you. And you do the very best with what you've learned. So I told you about 67. I told you about 77. I'd like to take you to 87. 87, I'm working at Grace Church of Christ. And I'm learning about miracles and signs and wonders. And I'm learning how God wants to heal and set people free. I'm learning about people being critical to each other, even in a Holy Ghost charismatic church. And how everybody had an opinion about what the pastor should do. And guess what? I defended him. From 1985 till 2000. Why? Because everybody had an opinion of how he should do things. And guess what? He had one leader. His name was Christ Jesus. And for those that would humble themselves and repent, there was hope and salvation and healing. For those who continue to be critical, there was judgment from God, not from me. You say, how could that be? Because that's the way God works. He said, leave all the judging to me. Let me take care of it. And now I'd like you to take you to 1997. And yesterday we had a leaders meeting. I'm going to read to you something that God called, well, Dale, I think you're the only one that's here that was there to receive this. This was given in Capitol Heights, Maryland. Were you there? No. Well, it's time to make it public. This was given October 25th, 1997. I want you to close your eyes. I want you to listen to what the words are. This was given for Sylvia Williams, who was the full-time intercessor for Wade Taylor. We were there for the entire Feast of Tabernacles. And the word was, there is a cry on the heart of God for this Massachusetts group of people to come up higher. And the Lord, by His Spirit, is bringing spiritual perception and spiritual understanding and spiritual knowledge and spiritual visions. How many times do you think He needs to say spiritual because it's not natural? He is increasing.
increasing the capacity to receive. And there is a burden on the heart of God for Massachusetts. He is calling out for this people to be that people that would allow him to make them witnesses unto himself. And the Holy Spirit is at work in our midst, making intercession by the Spirit of the Lord for Massachusetts and for this people. Would you declare something with me? Say, I'm this people. In Massachusetts. For God's purpose. Not for what I think is right. But to bring life. And healing. In me first. So that I can give it out. Here we go. You ready? There is a cry in the Spirit that there are spiritual ears to hear clearly what the Word is speaking. At this time, truly, there has been a cutting away of the old. And even as you sat here on Thursday, the Lord was penetrating, cutting, and severing, and being pulled. And even as we sit in what we call tabernacles, the Lord was penetrating your spirits to receive understanding of that which is really tabernacles, His indwelling. His home and a people. So understand this night that the Lord is speaking specifically to you. For there is a change and it's coming quickly. For the Lord is working to make Himself a witness in a people unto Himself. For even as you have cried out, Kemp, that there be change in yourself and in this people, that others may be changed, the Lord would make you to understand that the Holy Spirit helped your infirmities to pray for what was on His heart, for that is His burden, to have a people that He may manifest Himself through, express Himself through. That same anointing destroys yokes. So if there is a word of exhortation to this people to press in like you've never pressed in before, and to truly allow the workings of the Lord to continue. Do I get an amen?
Amen.
For the burden on his heart is that he would have a people in that area that would truly show forth his praises on the earth. A people to tabernacle so that the Lord would have you to understand that you are targeted by him. There is a call to come up higher. So there are weights and old concepts that must be cut away. He is doing it. But don't drag your feet, for the time is of the essence. For there must come change now in that area. And as the Lord begins to move at His pace that is quickening, there will come a greater understanding of the differences between your laboring and in your souls and the Spirit in turn, who you well know that which the Lord will do shall be done by His Spirit. He's calling a people out of the realm to the next. He's calling a people out of one realm to the next. Some of the fears that you had with the enemy, the fears of the newness, and even as we prayed this night, for there will be deliverance of these fears. So it shall be. The Father's heart is burdened concerning His people, concerning thy way, and even in the way of prayer and intercession, there will come a newness. Be quick to give up what you are accustomed to and enter into the new, for it is of a higher order. The Lord would remind you that He is moving quickly, which means enablement will be there for you to respond quickly. Kim, it is the Lord that's working in you, causing your work schedule and ceasing it. It is imperative that you be obedient. Time is of the essence. And you know how you spend your time is very important. For you're being equipped. You know that.
Tim, you're being burst into a new realm of the Spirit, and there is a travailing. Don't wiggle out.
Don't wiggle out. Meaning you can change the future by wiggling out or staying put and letting him perform what he wants out of this people, in this country, in this state, in this city. In March, God had a miracle for the House of Prayer. We were pressed to go to an attorney that actually formed this corporation and charged us nothing. The only thing we had to pay was for the fees to register for the state. And he's given us discounts every year since. He loves the Lord. Why am I spelling this out to you? Because now is the time of a new beginning. The House of Prayer is not to be what it was for the first 7 years. I believe the first 7 years are training. I believe he's going to make you and me tools for his glory. So stop being focused on all your problems, but focus on the one that can solve them.
I'm not quite done yet. Just a little tiny bit more.
Very early yesterday morning, I was crying out to the Lord. I said, Lord, we are your children and need more direction as you bring us forward into the seventh year as your church. And I was again reminded of your word, Lord Jesus, through Sylvia Williams in 97. How you, Lord, had your eyes officially on Massachusetts and how you desire a people for your glory to tabernacle in. Yes, a people that can be trusted to obey as you release your instructions. Father, I am truly humbled again as I read your desires and how much you are in need of real, pure, holy vessels to pour yourself into. This is your desire, so I trust your living waters to continue cleansing and your fire to continue to burn the chaff, so that we will be a pure and holy habitation just for you, a kingdom of priests and kings for your glory. Put your hand over your heart, please. Say, Lord Jesus, make me what I need to be.
Lord Jesus, make me what I need to be.
For this new beginning. It's really a saying. But it's got to be a real meaningful saying. It's not all about me.
It's
you building your church.
So that you can have your way.
In this people.
In Massachusetts.
To do a work for you alone.
Give me the courage to obey.
And let me lift up my brothers.
And my sisters
that are to be connected for your glory.
And I'm trusting you, Lord,
that I will be that container
where your fullness can reside.
In Jesus' name,
I pray.
questions or additions?
See, God takes his time to form a people for his pleasure. I pray that this word will silence the critics in the realm of the Spirit that don't understand who we are. We're not a people to please people. We're a people to please him. So we need to change our focus. Look at your neighbor. It doesn't. If it's your wife or husband, don't look at your wife or husband. Find another neighbor. Say, I'm interested in you. And I'm going to be praying for you. Because I need to pray for the saints in the body of Christ that are not focused on me. And I'm also confessing that I was selfish in the past. It was all about me. But now it's all about you. And Jesus in you. To keep healing you. And making you. Into an instrument of mercy. For Massachusetts. For the U.S. of A. For America. And all the nations. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Give him the glory. Give him the glory. I will also confess to you that this morning was one of the weirdest mornings that I've had in many years. Lord, what do you want? And it was not coming. Nothing was coming. There was a couple things in... It just didn't seem right. So I gave up and I began to celebrate. And said, Lord, I don't know what you're going to talk through me, but go and have your way. Hunger is to see more of those that are interested in coming to life for him. Instead of all about me, my, and mine. It's going to be all about them and what they need. Any additions? Anyone else have something to add to this? Why are you here? Why did you come?
To praise the Lord.
Yes. Amen. Why are you still here when we keep beating up on you?
I'm not beating up on you.
Sometimes, how many have felt that sometimes they got beat up? By the truth, right? And it really does. It feels like you just got beat up. But the reality is, you're going to mature. You're not going to think like a child. You're going to act like a child. No, you're not going to act like a child. You're not going to allow yourself to do that. You're going to say, God, I need help here. And as you cry out, he will fill you with grace and more grace and more grace. That's all I can tell you. He's got a plan to really, really change Massachusetts. The anointing of the Holy One of Israel continue to counsel you, comfort you, and make you into that instrument of grace and healing for the body of Christ in Jesus' name.
Amen.
And amen. Share some hugs with each other.